Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is our 2019 season preview for the Melbourne Demons. So the first thing we'll do is go back and do a bit of a review of 2018 before we get into what's in store for the Ds this year. And the first place to start with 2018 was 14 wins, fifth on the ladder. But really, it was all about making finals for the Ds, and then they had two big scalps in the finals too. Massive positive for the year for them.
Yeah, I'm pretty pissed off with Ds, actually. They managed to stop the streak that North Melbourne had with them, which was all I was living for season, unfortunately. So, yeah.
So we'll put that down as one of their highs, the highs for the year.
It's my low, but their high, I guess.
Stopping the 17-game streak?
Yeah, because, you see, Melbourne don't even like when anything goes to 18, especially Jesse Hogan.
Oh, jeez. I think that was the Bulldogs, but...
Yeah, anyway.
Running with that.
Don't know if we're mixing things there, but that's all right. What highs have you got, other highs for Melbourne for the year, besides making finals?
Well, I mean, obviously, being in Eagles Optus Oval, Optus Stadium, what do they call it over in the West?
Yeah, Optus Stadium, I think.
Optus, yeah. It was the way they won, basically. You know, almost gave it up in the third and managed to pull it together and kick three goals in a row. And that helped lock up their top eight spot and their finals berth, and obviously against who would turn out to be the premiers away from home. I thought that was a massive effort for them, and they just showed them that they were going to be a force in those finals. They weren't just there to make up numbers. They showed they were, you know, had intent.
They were serious. They're there to finals to play, not to... The job wasn't done.
Yeah. And I feel like that was really key to how they approached that finals, confidence. And, you know, they felt like they could be the underdogs that would beat anyone. And they were next in line to do that. Obviously, you had Bulldogs, Tigers, Melbourne felt like it was their time and that's going to do. And, you know, gave it a great shake.
Well, they also managed to put some really nice percentage on when they were having the lower teams on their last legs. They had a couple of near 100-point wins.
Yeah, and I think it's been a while since they've been able to put them. They've been on the receiving end of those thumpings in years gone by.
Yeah.
And to actually, you know, turn it around and, you know, really put the foot on the throat when they had the opportunity shows a change in mindset more than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got that son of a bitch in them now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they stepped up their meme game during the season. You know, it's always good to see with supporters, you know, not taking themselves so seriously. Yeah,
taking the chartreuse board you're talking about.
Charcuterie.
Close enough.
Chartreuse is something else.
Yeah, a little bit of cheese in there, a little fromagerie. I don't know if that's what it's called, but... so I feel like Melbourne stopped taking themselves so seriously, especially from the supporter base. And, you know, when you got that sort of loose, fun-loving environment, it seems like it pays dividends.
Positivity.
In current football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Melbourne supporters aren't going to the game planning to hang themselves.
Yeah, they're going to the game.
Yeah. They're actually not just turning up and getting their MCC expensive beer and fucking off.
Yeah, well, you can just see the lineups for the MCC is ridiculous.
It does feel like the Melbourne supporters have come out of the woodwork, and that wood is aged oak, of course.
Yeah, of course. It's courthouse mahogany.
I mean, part of the problem is, too, you can't park your Range Rover up at the front doorstep anymore at the G.
But all those jokes about, you know, the ski season and they're going to miss the Melbourne supporters, it really made way. Like, people still made those jokes, and we probably did too. I can't remember.
Sure we did.
But at the end of the day, you looked at the footy and go, you know what, this is good to watch as well.
Yeah, it was.
It was. And they had some players you just could not take your eyes off. For me, Nathan Jones is one of them, and Maxi Gawn, obviously. It's great that he's got Grundy.
Yeah.
I love watching those two go about their game, but especially they play each other.
It's like Federer and Nadal.
It is. Mm. It is. It's fantastic. And they're going to be the standard of ruckman for this generation, easily.
Yeah, by far. So Gawn made All-Australian again. I saw the other day, I think he plays game number 100 this week in round one.
100.
And it's taken him 10 years to get to 100. So that's a great achievement for him as well.
It's amazing. I had no idea. He's been in the system for 10 years and, yeah, and played 100 games.
Well, like his own words were, didn't play much footy for the first 5 years and played a lot in the last five.
Was he on Melbourne's list the whole time?
Yeah. I think he's got better as the beard's got longer, you know. It's obviously, his popularity has risen with that as well.
Yep, yeah, he's definitely getting a bit of side hustle cash with some commercials.
I think that one of the other highs for them was Angus Brayshaw.
Who
finished, what, third in the Brownlow?
Yeah.
And I don't think was even invited to the count. I thought probably got a few extra votes than he maybe deserved, but you can't deny he played a good year.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that I liked about Melbourne is that they had toughness, but also that flair and that, you know, exciting to watch skill. So you got toughness of Jones and Viney, obviously, an if with injuries and whatnot. But they seem to have both sides of the spectrum. And like, I feel like teams like Port, who should have been fighting there or thereabouts with Melbourne, they had the flair, but not that toughness to get the ball.
Well, they're able to sort of rotate that toughness role. Like Oscar McDonald, I think, had a ridiculous amount of hard ball gets and contested possessions.
Yeah.
Contested marks, especially, both into the ground.
Yeah. Mm. Just being able to not have to rely on that one contested possession getter, that one in and under, they were able to rotate it in and out so you couldn't block the guy who's getting it. But the guy who wasn't in the in and under role was actually able to sit for that first hand out kind of thing. Yeah. And then you got a free runner running up and next thing you know, you're off. And it's hard to watch when you're playing them, but when they're given someone hiding, it's attractive footy.
Yeah.
Oliver as well continued his expected rise, and I thought he was their best player for the year as well. I think he might have been third or fourth in the league for possessions.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous like that.
Yep, and he's turned it on. Didn't matter who was on him. He, you know, figured out a way to get the ball himself, and that's sort of nous. It's something that can't really be coached, but you can also take notes from other players' games and figure out what works for you.
Could kick a little bit more often if you liked. But
yeah. So he is like a very aware player. He, you know, looks what's going on and figures his way through the game, which is very good.
So they're the highs for Melbourne. And
I'd say one more was seven matches in a row kicking more than 100.
Yeah.
Which, if you can do that as a team, geez, you're looking all right. And I think they won all but one of those.
Yeah, which would have been the Geelong game they would have lost, I think, from memory. Yeah, you're right. Putting on some big scores. Okay, not many teams that played finals, but they did all right.
Yeah.
So the lows for the Ds for the year.
Jakey Lever's injury has to be...
Round two?
Yeah.
Lose your big off-season recruit. For the year, it's a shame to see any player happen to any player like that. But
this could be the Adelaide curse. They get rid of a star, and he's just broken down for. We'll talk about Tippett. I don't have another one, but
Tippett.
Dangerfield.
He won the Brownlow the year after he left. But
that theory, fuck.
But thinking, the exception that proves the rule. That's a thing that people say.
But then he got injured and had to play four pocket. three years later,
kick six. Yeah. Bastard.
So for the lows that I had was they sort of let go in the middle of the season, especially around that bye period.
Yeah.
Went through a patch where they lost, you had a bye in the middle, lost three in a row with a bye in there as well. They were totally outclassed by the Pies in round 12. That was on, was it Queen's birthday, Monday night one?
Yeah.
Just got dominated. And they're the teams that you're fighting for, not only just for respect, but for position when it comes to the point of the season.
Respect's a good word there, because that was what they were saying. Like, you know, we're going to challenge now. We're serious about this. We're going to make this our marquee day.
Yeah.
They got to the point now where Collingwood used to give them Queen's birthday every year, and Collingwood now going, we might host that every now and then too.
I think they're alternating it now, aren't they?
They are now, yeah.
And Melbourne, that's their only marquee game, so they have to put in a grand final effort.
Yeah. Well, actually, they've done well now, because they've got two marquee games. They play the night before Anzac Day.
That's right, play the Tigers, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And after that week, they had the bye, so you think that's enough time to get that,
get a shit sorted.
I guess there is another theory where, like, I know racing car drivers talk about, they have the bad race, they just want to get back out there and fix it and do it again. Same with fighters and whatnot. So maybe there is something to that, but I would hope bye round to professionals, it gives you time to reset, go back out there, and they're playing Port the next round, and they got done by Port by 10 points. That's not something that they would, that's not a game they would have pointed at and gone, we're going to lose this game.
Yeah.
They would have really wanted to win that. And then getting just tipped by the Saints the following round. that's got to be a confidence destroyer going through those periods, especially after a break where you want to be just get rid of the you know, the stress of AFL footy, and you come back and there's more stress just piled on waiting for you. But it does sort of show to their credit how they turned that around and managed to have a solid run in the back half. But if, you know, when you want to pick lows, I think that was the lowest part of their season, was figuring out how they're going to get around that losing streak.
I agree. They should never have lost to the Saints.
Yeah.
However, I mean, it is sort of a positive that they turn that around and obviously end up finishing fifth.
Yeah.
I didn't put their prelim final loss as a low because they still won a couple of finals, and I know it's not, you know, we're happy to make it here, but it's they'd be better for the loss. You know, they played in a prelim final now.
Yeah. Very few teams can go from not playing finals for as long as they have to winning a flag. Like, it just doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen. I mean, except for, you know, Richmond and the Bulldogs, but besides that, but you're right, they're rare.
Yeah. They made finals the years before they...
We tried.
They lost finals before they won it.
Well, we lost finals before we even got in the finals.
Three or four years before, but... The other lows I had is sort of the same thing you were saying, like when you have a poor effort and you come out, you go, okay, well, we'll make up for that.
Yeah.
They lost to Hawthorn in round three or something like that by 10 goals in the wet.
Yep.
And then the next week was their first marquee match of the year, the night before Anzac Day, and they were insipid against Richmond that
night
and lost by 8 goals.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the positive is they actually, obviously they turned it around from those two low periods of the year and had a very, very good year. But, yeah, to lose like 10 goals in the wet and then to come out...
that's tough.
All right, we're fighting, we're arguing, we want marquee matches. We've got one against the reigning Premier and... I mean, Richmond played well, but they didn't play that well.
Yes, and it's a wet weather game. Like, that evens the slate a whole lot more.
Yeah, to get absolutely thumped in the wet. So, obviously, maybe the wet's one of their weaknesses.
Yep.
But anyway, let's look forward to 2019. And they've had some movements in the off-season. They've had some pretty big outs, you'd have to say. Obviously, Jesse Hogan, the first one. He had a good year when he played. And he played more games than he has in other seasons.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, massive talent, but... You need a bit more professionalism. I felt like Melbourne was missing.
Well, in the last 24 hours, it's come out that he got on the sauce out at Frio, and he won't be playing round one because of it. Now all those rumours start to actually, he used to do this a little bit.
Yeah,
we knew this was behind him,
and then you start thinking him and Jack Watts were in the same team. Imagine how fucking loose their nights out were. Oh,
we haven't seen him go swimming yet, so you never know. That's
exactly right. He's moving back to the big coastal town. So.
Right now, as we sit here before round one, that looks like a genius move because they got high picks for him.
Yeah.
That we'll go into in their ins.
Yeah, and Frio, we're playing hardball to get him, and obviously it's come out afterwards that maybe they didn't particularly want him and got overruled.
Yeah, that trade is going to be talked about for years to come, I feel.
Yep.
Harley Ballack, Thomas Bug, Cam Pedersen, Dean Kent and Dom Tyson, sort of all thereabouts players, and you could have kept one or two, but it does look like they've gone, you know what, you're not best 22, so therefore we don't want you.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, I can't really disagree with a lot of those calls. Pedersen was serviceable, but they got what they could out of him.
I mean, he was a recycled player from a recycled player. I think he had his career best at Melbourne. But he's kind of in that Sean McKernan sort of mould. Like, not enough to be a best 22, but he's good to plug holes.
Yeah, a bit of a hole player. And I think with the McDonald's coming on, they sort of did what he did, but better.
Yeah.
And 5 or 6 years younger. I think he played a lot in the VFL and had good games in the VFL finals, but not enough to deserve your spot.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to feel for the bloke. His nickname is Pedo, and fuck, that's
a hard one to come back with.
So then after a bear, what's wrong with that?
And Bernie Vince pulled up stumps as well. I think that moving over from Adelaide, they got the best out of him.
Yeah.
I mean, he did well for them in a time when they needed it.
He was value for money.
Absolutely, he was. Their ins, Stevie May is the big one.
Yeah.
They used the pick they got for Jesse Hogan to shift something. They needed a big mongrel down back, and they got one.
And they just need to keep him disciplined, and he'll be an out star. I'm hoping that the lessen stress on May's shoulders to be a leader will have an effect on this game, just make him a little bit more in line, and hopefully the examples that have been set by the leadership team at Melbourne bring him into line. He's not the one setting the culture now. He's the one that has to follow their culture they've got.
I imagine he's still going to be pissed off about something. He just looks like he's permanently pissed off.
He does.
He'll be angry that he can't take his holidays early this season.
Yeah.
I thought he was a little bit unlucky with his suspension in the JLT. Because you can see he wasn't trying. He pulled up,
yeah.
But he still hit the bloke in the head.
Yeah.
You go, oh, mate, we don't want you to do that
it's anymore. It's old habits.
It is. It's hard to get away with it. They got Colin Jasny came with the deal. He might play. But when you're losing, you know, Balak, Bug, Kent and Tyson, and then you pick up Colin Jasny, he's a bit younger, I guess.
Yeah.
So there's still hope that he improves from there. Yeah. And big Braden Pruce. So obviously they want a bit of backup ruckman for Gawn.
Yep.
Which is interesting.
Well, maybe I think he's the perfect foil for Gawn, because everything that makes Gawn great is his speed, his ability to read the ball, and his just non-stop run.
His tap ruck work is what he's best at.
Yeah. Whereas Pruce is kind of his polar opposite. His tank isn't there. He will not run in a game.
No.
But he's a fucking beast.
Yeah, he's a big unit.
Yeah.
And in a team that already has a really good amount of small, hard players, he's just that monster that makes sure no one ever gives him a touch-up. If he can actually get himself sorted as a swing player that can come in from, say, centre-half back, or even swapping out from the bench might be something they're looking at doing with him. But he won't be able to carry ruck roll himself for the whole match,
no
matter what happens with Gawn. So as a backup, not that great. But as something to complement Gawn, especially when they're playing against teams that can...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Field bigger bodies. He is a bloke that you want on your squad. He won't play 22 games because he'll be suspended for at least three of them if he does everything right. But he adds a new dimension to what they have.
Be interesting to see if he's named in round one, how Melbourne lines up.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was like, oh, I don't know if anyone else was, but I was surprised when Melbourne picked him up. It seemed like accessible they needed. So I wouldn't be surprised if behind the doors there was some issues with Gawn across the whole season plus finals about endurance or maybe just niggles. And so they, as a way to have a backup plan for that, when they don't, they're looking to go further in the finals, so it's going to be a longer season for them. Yeah. Maybe that's their goal, and so they will give Pruce a lot longer run than maybe expected, just for the longevity sake of Gawn's season.
Gawn. Yeah, okay.
Because he's a highly targeted player as well, and now that's true. He won't have to be the enforcer because Pruce's body is huge. I wouldn't be surprised if this was a tactical move just to get a bit more longevity endurance out of Max Cross premiership tilt season.
I want to see that happen too. Like Gawn lines up on Mumford, and Mumford's doing his usual sort of
drugs
thing. That too. Give him a bit of a rib tickler every once in a while, and then he's like, all right, fuck it. Subboard, I'm off. On comes Pruce. I want to see those two go at it. I wanted to see that for the last, I don't know how many seasons that Pruce has been in the system. I want to see he and Mumford go head to head.
I don't think they'll call it a sub. I think they'll call it a tag. just for that one.
He could come in with a steel chair. That could absolutely happen.
Would not surprise me at least. All right, let's have a look at their draw. Their double ups for the year. They've got double ups with West Coast, Richmond, Collingwood. Geez, that's a rough old couple.
Yeah, it is tough, but, you know, that's where you are.
That's where you are. Sydney and the Saints. So, I mean, their only easy one there is the Saints, and they should get big wins against them. But, however, like we went through, they lost to the Saints last year.
Yeah, exactly.
So a lapse in concentration could actually cost them.
I don't see that happening this year just because they won't take the Saints easy.
Surely not.
Yeah.
They couldn't.
I mean, you want to put a hurting. I think they got a bit confident with their previous hurtings on the bottom four.
Yeah.
And maybe just expected to walk it in and it didn't happen. But I like the Collingwood matchups because I think Melbourne and Collingwood should be having a brilliant rivalry right now. With the Queen's birthday game, both Collingwood, would say, slightly closer to premiership, having just fallen short by a kick last season.
Yep.
But they both play a similar game. They both got very exciting mixture of youth and experience. And both have probably gotten better in the offseason.
But having said that, both these teams legitimately should be aiming for a premiership this year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when they're talking to the media, they say, oh, we just want to finish in the finals, or we just want to top four for that double chance. They are thinking premiership, and they have every right to. It's not a pie-eyed dream.
Oh, look, if they weren't, then someone's wasting their fucking time turning up to work.
Well, that's why I feel like they've got to be happy about these double ups, because not only is it that exposure you get to these teams, but it's the data you get out of it, of their game, their strategies, how they play. You go back and you analyse all that, and that's how you formulate a game plan against teams that you're very likely going to be playing finals against. So,
especially with so many rule changes this year.
Yeah. Right. So you are looking at just getting information and figuring out how you work with that, and what your strategy is going to be, what your options are for finals, as opposed to looking at we need this win.
And when you look back on 2018 as well, like they played Geelong twice, lost twice, and then came back and beat them in the finals.
Yeah, same as Pies with the Tigers.
Yep,
they lost twice. Lost twice in the season, came back and demolished them. And it was all game plan too.
Yeah, and they both of them had to play well to do it.
Yeah,
So they get that opportunity with those double ups, and if they lose, you know, twice to West Coast, Richmond, and Collingwood, then you're not premiership quality anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yep.
All right, so he's having a big year for Melbourne this year. Well, it's hard to pick one.
It is really hard to pick one. But
Tom expect McDonald, a lot.
Is this the year that Petrarca becomes down that star? Does he stay fit?
4 years in the system, I think.
4 years, but he's the body that doesn't get good until 28.
Yeah.
So you still want to see him improve this season. Maybe this Bruce pickup isn't actually to support Gorn, but it's to support Petrarca.
Could be.
Stick him in there, make their tall people have to stretch across, you know, a wider area. Maybe you can exploit some other people's weaknesses in regards to size and ability.
Maybe he's just getting on the same protein.
He could be. He's always been a broad lad.
Yeah.
Petrarca. And you said Tom McDonald. Which end of the ground do you reckon he's playing at?
Both. I think he has to be that swing player, because I think the way the game's going to set up this season, you can't have one game style that you play all teams in.
Yeah.
You're going to need that adaptability and flexibility. And his ability to swing a game at either end, I don't think there's many players that can do that. I don't think there's many players running around now, if any, right at the very moment.
Geez, that's a good starting midfield for him as well. If you got Gorn is the reigning All-Australian ruckman. You put Oliver, Viney, Petrarca... and then you've got Brayshaw, who's, you know, like we said, third in the Brownlow, who can run through there.
Yep.
Nathan Jones haven't even got a mention yet.
No, he's going to be in the hard yards. I mean, he could be the winger.
Yeah,
he's running there.
He could be halfback flanker and just directing traffic.
Yeah.
It's scary. You can have those kicking down forwards to one of the McDonald's.
Yeah.
And then you've got, Kennedy Harris underneath. Trying to kick a few goals.
It makes me really excited about their double-ups against Collingwood. It's going to be an amazing effort, especially where both are going to be at MCG.
It is hard. I found it hard to just limit it down to, you know, less than 12 players are going to have a big year. I think May's going to be big. I think Jakey Lever's going to be big once he comes back. You know, that's a different back line for the entire year for him.
Yeah, and that massive means back line.
The McDonald boys can spend more time up forward where they're far more dangerous. And Viney didn't play for, what, half the season last year?
Pretty much,
If he's right and going, damn it, there's a wrecking ball.
It is, but there were serious concerns with his health, wasn't there?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a big if.
They've got so many players I like watching. Yeah. Like Viney, Jones, Gorn, great players to watch.
Yeah. They've shaken the tag of... they've always had a whipping boy, somebody you laugh at.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a recruit, like, why'd you recruit him?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is for him anymore. And that's fantastic.
Yeah, yep.
Because they're probably not exposing them to AFL anymore.
I think probably Jakey Lever's the only one that's trying to shake that tag this season, just because they haven't got any value out of him, but I reckon they probably will.
Yeah, it's not his fault. Who's on the outer for him? Who's in trouble at the D's?
I think just anyone outside the best 22.
If they might not get a look in.
Yeah, if you're struggling to break into the squad, laddie, it ain't going to happen for you.
Well, with their pickups, Jordan Lewis, he's got to be getting close to be on the air, doesn't he? They don't need the experience anymore.
Honestly, forgot about him.
I think so as well. Jordan Lewis is what I had down. I think he's about 33.
Yeah, and they don't need his experience 31, anymore.
32 now.
Especially you're bringing in May, you got Lever coming in. Like, where do you slot him in?
I think you need his experience. This is the last year you do.
Yeah.
Before, I mean, when they played in their first final, I think the combined finals of the Melbourne team was something like 22, and he played 21 of them.
Right.
Or thereabouts. Now they've all had that taste. They've all played, you know, a couple of finals. He shouldn't be best 22 anymore.
Well, that's just it. If they make September and you know, just about everyone's fit, yeah, he ain't getting a Guernsey.
However, the runner restriction this year.
Yeah.
So you need coaches out on the field.
Yeah.
And whatever you say about Jordan Lewis, he's a smart footballer.
Yeah.
And he knows where to send people. Especially when it's in the tight parts of the games. But
he's been relatively suspension-free too at the...
At D's. Yeah, I think he's had a couple of fines. That's about it.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I don't think he's fast enough to catch up to people to snot him anymore.
Yeah.
and the only other one I had down was Nathan Jones, just because I don't think he's in their best midfield anymore.
Yeah.
He's 31, but I can't see a team running out without him.
Yeah.
And I just put him down because I had to think of somebody else.
Yeah.
Who do you think the next captain is?
Viney, he's only 24. He's co-captain at the minute. I can't see it changing him.
Yeah, I'm the same.
I think he's got another 10 years in that role.
Provided he can give his body right.
Yeah. If he wants to hand it over in 3 or 4 years, I think you've got plenty of options in Oliver, Brayshaw, Petrarca. It might even be a Lever by then, or either of the McDonald boys. I mean, you got options there. They're leaders in the making.
Yeah.
I think
Maxigon will keep playing until he's 50 as well. He could actually be 50 already.
Just about to say that, yeah.
He could be 20 and just smoke plenty of bongs.
So, usually now we do our ladder predictors of where we think they're going to finish for the year. I think this is the only team that we had an all-out consensus on where they're going to finish.
Well, yeah, really. Literally the only team. Where did I have them?
Fourth.
So, yeah.
We had the D's making sense. The top four, getting a double chance.
Yep. I mean, it sounds about right. I mean, because it's hard to figure out where that... It's percentage in a lot of these spots, really. So yeah, it's really hard to look at it from the preseason. Yeah.
And on previous form, they do rack up the percentage, so...
They can score quickly.
Yeah.
They move the ball fast.
You know, I'm happy with that. I don't think they're going to finish top spot, but it's been a fairly rarity that the minor premier will actually win the flag. So I think they'll be looking to keep their powder dry a bit. And they'll pick up their easy wins where they can. They'll... earn the hard wins.
Yep.
And if they lose a couple on the way, but they get through to, you know, July with no injury concerns, they'll be pretty happy.
Just got back through in my head. 2013 was the last time the minor premier won. So, yeah, it's nearly 6 years now.
Yep.
Also, they played 3 finals this year in front of sold-out crowds. And Melbourne haven't played in front of sold-out crowds for a decade before that. They'll play double-ups against West Coast. They'll be sold out over there, it will.
Yeah.
Richmond will be sold out twice. Yep. Collingwood will be sold out twice. They're going to get used to big games.
Yeah.
And that's why I put them fourth. And if, you know, a couple of things go their way, they could go higher than that.
Yep.
Yeah. I think they'll split the difference on a couple of those matches. But the experience of playing in front of that crowd and against those teams will put them in massive, massive good stead for September action.
It's a dangerous thing that Melbourne have got this year, and that's optimism.
Yep.
We've seen it happen before. It can blow back in your face. But no, we've all got them playing in the top four.
And I'm looking forward to getting up the ski slopes and having them empty. So I hope they do pretty well.
That's this one done.
All right. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.